on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
It all depends on what we see from the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of how real their defense is. What I thought when I saw them against Arizona, I was shocked that they ramrodded them the way that they did. But Keenan Allen, I mean, this is a guy that's had over 100 receptions the last 3 years, okay? He's a primary target of Justin Herbert, okay? With him out, you got Williams, got Eckler and others, but the bottom line is that is a primary weapon that you get that you're missing out on. It makes things a bit easier for Kansas City's defense, and if they are better than what we thought they would be, then it could pose some kind of problem. It's not beyond a realm of comprehension that could happen.
There's a saying in football, right? Protection beats coverage every time. If you can protect for Patrick Mahomes, he's going to pick you apart. It doesn't matter. The great ones, that's what they're going to do. And so the way that the Chiefs reconstructed their offensive line and the way they've continued to develop that offensive line with Heck being their offensive line coach, it gives him the confidence to stand in the pocket, because we've seen the only time he really looked mortal was against Tampa Bay when his offensive line looked horrific.
We're going to get this twice a year, and we're also going to get a potential playoff matchup as well down the line.
If Justin Herbert can ever get there.
I think he can get there. I think they will get there this year. I'd be shocked.
He's got to do it first.
He does, but I'd be shocked if they didn't. Now, having said that, there is only one team that has beaten Patrick Mahomes twice in Kansas City, and it's the Chargers. One of the times was without Herbert. Herbert can become Patrick Mahomes against the AFC West is 21-3 in his career. And so he can become the first quarterback to go beat Patrick Mahomes twice at Arrowhead.
Okay.
If they win tomorrow night. I'm excited for the prospect of having the next generation of quarterback duel on that level. And I think that's what we're going to have.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Marco Marquez. It's game day. Thursday, September 15th, 2022. Yes. Chiefs and Chargers tonight at Arrowhead Stadium. Thursday night football, baby. You heard some talking heads, some various media personalities discussing the Chiefs and the Chargers and what to expect tonight, the impact that Keenan Allen's absence might have. Of course, no Trent McDuffie, no Harrison Butker, but the two most important players on the field tonight, obviously, will be Patrick Mahomes the second and Justin Herbert, the best quarterback in the league and one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But I think it's you could easily make an argument it's a matchup of top five quarterbacks in the league. But I don't know where you have Herbert ranked. You have Mahomes number one, Herbert three, four, or five. I'll listen to any of those arguments. I think I have him in the top five, and it's going to be very exciting to see, as many people said, as you heard there at the beginning, this matchup play out over the course of the next several years. It's going to be exciting to see this matchup play out this year to see if the Chargers can finally live up to all the hype and actually challenge the Chiefs in the AFC West. And if they have to do it, the blueprint includes winning tonight at Arrowhead Stadium. And so very exciting. The weather should be terrific. We'll talk to Buster Olney and get his thoughts on the matchup because he's a baseball insider, but he's going to talk all football today. We told him it's crazy, but he's going to. Adam Kaplan will give us his thoughts. Our NFL insider, Gary Lezak, will have the forecast for you. We have former Chiefs wide receiver Gary Dieter in studio. He'll help us break down the matchup, and also Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. He covers the Chiefs, and he'll be in studio with us in the 9 o'clock hour. Nate Buchady had a conversation with Kansas quarterback Jalen Daniels. He'll give his thoughts on the Chiefs and the Chargers tonight. So very exciting as we have game night, game day, game action back at Arrowhead Stadium as the Chiefs take on the Chargers. And all of the football world, the entire NFL will be watching tonight as the Chiefs look to start off 2-0 after their very impressive performance against Arizona. And I told you, after all this crap that people talked in the offseason on ESPN and NFL Network and every place else, just wait a couple of weeks into the season, and then all of a sudden you'll see the hot takes. Are the Chiefs better without Tyreek Hill? Is Patrick Mahomes more dangerous without Tyreek Hill? All of the hot takes in the offseason about Patrick Mahomes not being the same quarterback, the Chiefs not having the same offense, and they won't be as dynamic and they won't be as dangerous. It took one freaking week for people to flip. It took one freaking week for ESPN to flip like Sammy the Bull Gravano. That's how easy they flipped. And now I saw one of the main headlines of videos you can click on ESPN.com on their main page. Are the Chiefs more dangerous without Tyreek Hill? 1 week, and that's all it took. And so we'll see exactly how dangerous this offense is tonight against the Chargers and their excellent 1-2 punch at pass rush between the newly acquired Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. That's going to be a key matchup to watch, whether or not Orlando Brown Jr. and Andrew Wiley can protect Patrick Mahomes and give him enough time to pick apart the Chargers' defense. And so, look, McDuffie's out, and that's a tough blow for the Chiefs, but Keenan Allen's out. And I think that's a tougher blow for the Chargers because he is a very difficult matchup for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he is one of their best, most consistent offensive weapons, although he has battled injuries over the years, and he will not be available tonight due to his hamstring injury. And look, it could be a close game, and so that the fact that Harrison Butker is not in, we had fun with Justin Reed kicking last week, and it was awesome that Harrison Butker was able to still kick while he was injured, but he's not kicking tonight. And we hope that it won't come down to a backup kicker deciding the game, as long as he makes the kicks, you know. But look, we've been very lucky to have Harrison Butker, and I know he misses an extra point here and there, and you know, whatever, he's not perfect, but he's been a hell of a kicker, and he's made some clutch kicks. He has tremendous range. For the most part, he's been extremely durable and dependable for the Chiefs. And so now, Matt Amendola. Hope it doesn't come down to that, but we got to mention it. That could be a big factor because, you know, Butker's been pretty much automatic. But you got a guy that wasn't with any team. And I'd love to say that the Chiefs bring in a guy that's going to be nails, but he was not with the team for a reason. Man, I wish that the Colts would have let go of Rodrigo Blankenship one day earlier. Maybe the Chiefs could have landed him because I like him and his glasses, but he blew the game against the Texans on Sunday, so maybe not. But we hope it doesn't come down to a kicker, but if it does, it ain't going to be Harrison Butker on the field for the Kansas City Chiefs tonight. And so keep that in your hip pocket. Hopefully it doesn't make a difference, but there's been a lot of close games between the Chiefs and the Chargers. And let me tell you, that would suck if it came down to Matt Amendola being the difference maker between the Chiefs winning and losing against the Chargers tonight. But I don't think it'll happen. I think the Chiefs are going to win double digits. I think they're going to win by 10 tonight. I think they're going to show that they're, once again, the best team in the AFC West. And I think they're going to show that they are, along with the Buffalo Bills, one of the two best teams in the AFC. And the Chiefs, once again, will put the rest of the league on notice that if you thought they were going to be an easier out, if you thought they were going to come back to the pack a little bit after losing Tyreek Hill, it's the opposite. They got better defensively. I think that got better and more diverse offensively. And we're going to see that on full display tonight on Amazon Prime, if that's the way you're going to watch the game. Also watch on NBC, but Thursday Night Football, you'll have Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. And so be prepared for people to bitch and moan about that broadcast crew tonight, at least the Herbstreit part of it. Nobody should complain about Al Michaels because I think he's the very best. And so always glad to hear him. But Thursday Night Football, baby, let's go. I can't go. I have a volleyball game tonight, so.
I'm going now.
Are you?
Yeah, I just got an offer to ticket last night.
Good for you.
Yeah, it kind of fell into my lap. It's pretty nice, so. Are you line judge again?
No, I won't accept that position tonight. So, we have a 6 o'clock volleyball game way out in Blue Springs, and so yeah, I'll make it home in time. That's a great thing about grade school volleyball games, are quick. Pretty much the max is 45 minutes or so.
Maybe if you're line judge, you can speed it on a little bit. Nope, yeah. That was in. Point.
Yeah. I'll be watching some stuff. I will not miss one of my daughter's volleyball games for anything, as long as I'm
nor should you
able to get there, and so I'm good to go there. But I will politely ask out of line judge duties tonight.
Gotcha.
I'll go to the bathroom at a very opportune time when I know they're going to come over and ask the parents. I'll run over. Nope, gotta go to the bathroom. I got my timing. No, I enjoyed doing that the other night though, but there it is. Yeah, I had to decline a couple of offers to go to the game tonight, unfortunately. But I'm not a huge fan of going to night games when I have to do a show the next day. Because I got to be fresh and I got to be ready. And I know you don't have to worry about it because you just say whatever. But I got to, you know, take notes and be sure that I see everything and I'm right about everything, you know. Mm-hmm. What are you looking at me like that for?
Well, yeah, I just pull it out of my rear.
Yeah, really, you pull it out of your ass. You don't have to say rear. But I gotta, you know, I gotta make sure I'm accurate.
Right.
You know.
Right. Hey, heavy is the head that, you know, wears the crown.
Size 8, baby. No, but someone's got to be an adult. I got to be ready to roll. You know, he's not gonna be. He'll be gambling and doing all kinds of crazy stuff until 2 a.m. So.
I'm sleeping at the station tonight.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you really?
Yeah. Chiefs broadcast goes till midnight, so I'm driving up here and.
See, you're gonna be taxing yourself. And so it's gonna be not literally. I mean, you're gonna be working. Don't worry about that, but you're gonna be worn out tomorrow, aren't you? Pace yourself tonight.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't want to. I mean, it is gonna be a late night, that's for sure. But I think it'll be fun. You know,
sure,
it's
it
a season
be.
Opener. I thought about what you're saying. I mean, but it's a season opener, you know, and I think it's gonna be a great game. Go down to the wire. So I'm excited to be there.
I'll be working at the rest of the games with Lebo because we'll be working the press box and the post game interviews and everything else for the rest of the year, but. Tonight, volleyball calls, and so I have a great doubleheader and it works out perfectly that I get to see both, and I don't have to miss either one of them. You all right in there? Come on. What happened?
So I thought we were not even on the air.
Right. That's a problem.
We're on the air.
Okay.
It's just.
Well, that's good.
We weren't in a delay, so I'm glad that you didn't say any bad words or anything.
I did say a bad word.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't say something I couldn't go over the air.
Right. Well, I normally don't. I've only done that a couple of times over the years.
Boy, you came close yesterday when you were talking about that sandwich.
Yeah. I said effing Royals. I said it under my breath. So. But there it is. Let's go Chiefs. But hopefully everyone's going to have a great time out at Arrowhead Stadium. Like I said, the tailgating and the pregame should be wonderful. And you listen to Sports Radio 810 for your best coverage before and after the game. And then we'll be right back. You know what? This will be like a little bit of a delayed postgame. We'll be right back here for you at 6 a.m. tomorrow to break everything down that happens tonight between the Chiefs and Chargers right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You coming up there Saturday? I told your mom. She said she's out of town. She said she's going to pass it. I know you got something weird. You got something weird going. You would have committed. Tell your dad. He can come up there.
So, dad's bed rest. I got to take care of dad.
Oh, really?
He had veins removed from his legs.
Oh, how is he? Is
varicose,
he all right?
Varicose veins? That okay. Sound right?
Sure,
yep.
Sure
very,
it does.
Very close
I mean, you're asking me, and I have no... medical knowledge whatsoever, but yes, it sounds right.
He's doing fine. We were watching TV yesterday. He just needs to elevate his legs and take ibuprofen, but...
He needs to elevate his game.
With DraftKings Sportsbook.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, he's doing well, thank you. And I didn't even know... He said, yeah, so your mom's going out of town Saturday.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
So you have to care for him. Don't you?
Yep.
Well,
yep. So Saturday night, I think we're going to...
Well, shake your head. You care for him.
So I'm gonna spend the afternoon at the sports book in Hollywood Casino, and then I'm gonna go.
Why don't you spend the afternoon with him?
He can't make me money.
Well, wow. He could.
He could.
We just then you watch the fight together. Man, I got it. You may not want to come, but I got a crew. My dad's inviting a bunch of people. It's getting out of hand now.
You guys are taking up the Barry
like,
Wood.
How
theater.
Many? How many people can go to the fight? I said, how many people buy tickets? I mean, I don't. Was this a trick question? How many people can go? I said, I mean, are you asking me for the capacity at Barry Woods in a certain theater? Like, what do you, you know? I'm just asking. Yeah, I got some people coming up there, so. I got Joe Kelly coming up there. I got fight promoters. I got all kinds of people coming up there. I don't know. Like, I don't have them come up there, but they just, people ask me, hey, where are you watching the Canelo fight? And I said, I'm watching the movie theater. Because here's the deal. And I'm going to lay it out there for people that might happen to be there. I.e. my dad or friends or whatever else. I like being in an atmosphere where I can enjoy the fight, people cheering for the, you know, I like that. I like to be around people that are fight fans watching a fight. And you can do that at a bar, but then people can also talk to you during the fight. And that is what we call a no-no, especially during a Canelo fight, okay? Not interested in that. And so the great thing about the movie theater is when the fight's on, you're in an atmosphere where people are enjoying the fight, but you're in a movie theater in your assigned seat watching the screen, and I will have a St. John child on each side of me. There you go. I'll be protected.
So It's reclining seats, obviously, in AMC. Do you stand up? Do you enjoy
I don't know
the recline?
I don't know if I can't remember. If it's, yeah, it's a reclining. I think so. Yeah, I'll chill out. I recline. I haven't.
You don't mind being relaxed? Like you want to be relaxed during the match,
yeah.
Watching it. All right,
yeah. Yeah. No, I chill out, man. It's a long night. It's four fights, man. But I'm fired up. Canelo Triple G3. I'll take care of my DraftKings Sportsbook bets when I'm here at work on Friday, because I'll be in the state of Kansas. And then I'll go watch the fight in the state of Missouri. And hopefully I'll be in a state of pleasure after watching that fight on Saturday night.
What do I need to get my free subscription on?
What?
The fight, it's on
Oh, it's pay-per-view.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not on the...
It's dissolved, but it's pay-per-view.
Oh, I see.
We'll be trying to cut corners here. You put that money in Canelo's pocket for this fight on Saturday night. He will entertain you. You line his pockets with your money that you win on DraftKings Sportsbook. Who's nervous about the game tonight, huh?
Nervous. I think it's going to be a good game.
Who's nervous about the game tonight, huh? Are you nervous?
I'm not really nervous, but I am anticipating a good game.
Marissa, the intern's a truth teller. Marissa, are you nervous about the game tonight? Nate's hemming and hawing, sitting on that fence. He won't come off of it. What about you, Marissa, the intern? Are you nervous? Are you fully confident that the win will go to your Kansas City Chiefs?
I am fully confident that the win will go to the Kansas City Chiefs.
No, nothing like, I don't know, I got a funny feeling or nothing like that?
Maybe just a little bit, but I'm pretty confident.
Marco wants me to ask you about the line. What do you think? What is it, right? What's the latest? Is it four still? Where are we at? The Chiefs are favored by four. We know that you think the Chiefs are going to win, but do you, and these are the, like Marissa, she's not a heavy gambler like Marco. She likes to go to Vegas on her 21st birthday and say, Dad, let's play these slots, things like that, right? A little bit of fun, all right? You don't overthink it. And sometimes Marco on DraftKings Sportsbook overthinks it. And so just give us your gut reaction. Will the Chiefs win by more than four, less than four? Will they win by four? Give us what your gut reaction is.
I want to say more.
She wants to say more than four.
Then say it.
Say it then. If that's what you believe, say it with conviction.
They will win by more than 4 points.
There it is. Take now, bank, how do you feel? Take that to the DraftKings Sportsbook Bank.
So I got to buy points now.
Well, I'm just asking if you feel, does that make you feel more confident? She's got a laptop. She's a college student. She runs the numbers. She understands things. She gets it. Sometimes I don't know if you get it. She gets it. She's working. She's got her nose to the grindstone. She didn't overthink it. She goes, I think they're going to win by more than four. So now what do you do with that information?
I'm going to take $10 on DraftKings and do a straight-up Chiefs minus 9.5 then.
See, because sometimes, like, we've all experienced this. Like, say, for instance, when you're filling out your bracket for the NCAA tournament, sometimes it's the people that don't put too much thought into it. They just, you know what I mean?
Yep, go with their gut.
Right,
go with their gut.
Sometimes that's the instinct. That's right.
If I went with my gut, I'd be in the bathroom all the time.
Her instinct is they will win by more than four. So you follow Inter Marissa's instincts about this game, Marco. That's the question. She's learned under you. You've known her well. You know that she's a future success story in this business. Will you capitalize on her information, or what's your angle tonight? I guess is what I'm asking.
So you're gonna, what have I bet on already?
Yeah. What do you?
Okay. So yesterday I started with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They dropped it from 69.5. Scrimmage yards to 64.5.
Okay, let's stop right there. Nate Eucati, this is the prop bet that he has wrapped his arms around. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 64.5 total scrimmage yards tonight.
Over
or under?
I'm going over.
You guys are both going over. Okay, 64.5. That sounds good. Boy, it was 69.5. Yeah, but now they're really inviting you to go the over 64.5. Okay, so you've locked in on that. What else?
Locked in on him being a touchdown scorer at any time.
Will Clyde Edwards-Helaire score a touchdown tonight?
Ooh.
That's a little tougher.
Since he had two last game.
That's a little tougher. Did he score one?
I feel like I would bet against that one.
Nate Eucati says he will not score a touchdown tonight, but you're going to go ahead and say he will score a touchdown. One trip to the end zone, that's all you need.
That's all I need.
Okay. What else?
I know I took Mike Williams and Austin Eckler touchdown anytime is also...
Both of them?
Yeah, you parlay it together if you want to.
Okay.
Opening up my DraftKings app right
so you're
now.
Going, you're going to the... You got a lot of touchdowns being scored here.
Well, I got the over, so...
Okay, you got the over.
All right, here's a five-leg parlay that I put $2 on. Mike Williams over 5.5 receptions.
Let's just... Okay, so no Keenan Allen, Mike Williams over five. Man, but let me tell you, Mike Williams is either 8 catches for 130 yards or like 2 for 20.
Feast
all or
famine.
But the fact that Keenan Allen's not playing, that's okay. I see where you're going here. So you got the over. Okay, it's 5.5.
5.5.
Okay, all right.
And
go
he's
ahead.
A Chiefs. He's a Chiefs guy. He's a Chiefs killer in a way.
The old secondary he was. We'll see about this new look secondary.
Facts. Travis Kelce, any touchdown?
Yes.
At any
yes.
time.
Yes. 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 Okay.
Justin Herbert over 1.5 touchdowns.
Yeah. Yep.
Austin Eckler over 4.5 receptions.
Austin Eckler laid a gigantic turd for me.
Did he?
Week one of the fantasy season. And so I expect him, now that I don't want him to do anything, I expect him to explode tonight. So, yes, I probably like that one.
And so he's got to get 5 catches for you.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Okay.
And to close out this 5-leg parlay, I added in Clyde Edwards-Helaire over 15.5 receiving yards.
15.5 receiving yards.
He's a yak. He can...
Yeah, I mean,
Well, Mahomes actually threw him the ball a couple times last game, so maybe that's going to be part of the offense.
What did he have last week, 30? receiving yards?
Something like that.
All right. All right. There we go. There's Marco's picks for tonight. If you're looking to enjoy the Chiefs and Chargers in a special way with DraftKings Sportsbook. And most importantly, Marissa, the intern, has put her name on it. She has decided to say that the Chiefs will cover and win by more than four tonight. And so very excited about these picks. What do we have coming up next, Nate?
I had a one-on-one conversation with Jalen Daniels. What a delightful kid to talk to. Fantastic. And also found out that he likes a very, I'll say a unique flavor of pizza that we get into.
Flavor of pizza?
Yeah, like what he likes on his toppings and all that
stuff. Pizza topping.
Yeah. You're not allowed to call it a flavor.
I don't know. I've never heard that before.
I was asking my kids what flavor they want.
Never heard of, like, you know, like, yeah. when I've gone to eat pizza, I've never had anyone, hey, what flavor you want, sir?
Marissa liked that one.
I want vanilla.
Yeah.
What did you?
I said Marissa got a kick out of that one.
Yeah, I've never. Now, Marissa's Italian, so she'll make fun of you for this. I don't know.
I'm just being silly.
But are you being silly, or is that what you say?
What flavor do you want?
What flavor do you want?
Well, I like a lot of flavors of pizza.
I bet you do.
I like Hawaiian pizza.
But Neapolitan, that's delicious.
Yeah, I like Neapolitan.
Yeah,
I like some spumoni.
Do you like the flavor of the show?
Yes.
I sure don't. We will be right back after this on WHB.
WHB, your home for Kansas Jayhawk football, the 2-0 Kansas Jayhawks, and the leading offensive team in all of FCS football when it comes to points scored through the first 2 weeks of the season, your Kansas Jayhawks. And a man that has a lot to do with that is the starting quarterback for the Kansas Jayhawks, Jalen Daniels, and he joins us on the show right now. Good morning, Jalen. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Hey, what goes through your mind when you hear me say things like 2-0 Kansas Jayhawks and top scoring offense in the country, Kansas Jayhawks?
You know, it's just, I feel like it was all visionary, honestly. Like, talked to a lot of guys from the class that I was in, you know, my freshman year, and just the amount of expectations that we set for ourselves and the goals that we've had, you know, it's just good to see that we're making progress towards those goals and expectations.
Okay, so when you say visionary and expectations, look, when you're sitting on the outside, and I've been a Kansas fan my whole life. I was the sideline reporter for Kansas when they went 12-1 and won the Orange Bowl, probably before you were old enough to even remember. It's been a long time since Kansas has been good in football. So how do you have the confidence and the vision to turn it back into something good when it hasn't been something you've seen with your own eyes?
You know, you just have to have confidence in your abilities. You know, honestly, I don't feel like our team looks at the past as something that, you know, that we can really look back at. I feel like the day-to-day process is, you know, our main emphasis. That's what our coaching staff puts a big emphasis on, which is that 1%, getting better, that 1% daily.
And you guys are clearly getting better at least by 1% every day. I could see it last year when I was watching the team. I felt like I could see that this was a well-coached team that was making progress. Then, of course, you guys made the big jump by beating Texas. You took over the starting quarterback job, and you guys were very competitive in the last couple games, and you've hit the ground running this year. I want to go back to before that, because we had your coach Lance Leipold on the show on Tuesday, and I asked him about you, and he talked about how, you know, their coaching staff got in late. They didn't have time in the spring to watch you guys. They had to do a short abbreviated camp to try to get ready for the season last year, and that you were dealing with a little bit of arm fatigue, so they weren't sure how they wanted to do things, that maybe they were going to try to redshirt you last year. Can you take me back to when Coach Leipold and his staff got on campus and what your early impressions were of those guys?
You know, I just love the amount of emphasis that they put on that we have to have a player-led program. You know, I feel like being able to lean on the people that you're on the field with every single day, that just gives you that strength and confidence that you need to be able to go out on the field. Because, you know, everybody knows the game of football is there's a whole bunch of players out there, and, yeah, the coaches are giving out the plays, but when we're messing up the plays on the field, we have to be able to feel like we can hold each other accountable to be able to make the right play the next time.
So that's fantastic. All right, a player-led program. As a young guy, how do you become a leader, and where did you get your leadership skills from in life?
You know, I feel like it comes from a lot from Coach Lee. You know, he reads a lot of books, and he's a very knowledgeable person. And I feel like when you just are going through things, not even just as a football player, but in life, you're able to talk to him, ask him questions about what you can do better as a man and as a leader, honestly. So I feel like our coaching staff does a good job of caring for us more than just football. They want to help us grow as a man rather than just an athlete.
So one of the things that Coach Leipold said to me when I asked him about you was the fact that he said if you make a mistake, he said if Jalen Daniels makes a mistake or does something poorly, our position coach, our offensive coordinator can get on him and he doesn't deflect. He doesn't get defensive. He doesn't crumble. He responds and takes in the information. That's a hard skill for a lot of people, let alone college kids. I think most humans, when you get criticized, it's a natural tendency to get defensive and feel like you're under attack a little bit, even if the person criticizing you has your best intentions at heart. So have you always been like that? Is that a learned skill? How did you become a player who can handle criticism the right way?
I feel like for me, it's just that I know what expectations I have for myself. I would never let somebody else's expectations for my performance be better than mine. So when they are getting on me, I'm more harder on myself than they are on me. And the fact that I can see that why they're getting on me for this situation, that just shows me the amount of love and trust that they have for me, and they just can see what I can do in the future. So I when they get on me about things and everything, I take it with a grain of salt because I'm going to go back in and film. I know what I can do better, and I see what I'm going to be able to do better in the next time.
We're visiting with Jalen Daniels. He's got the Jayhawks off to a 2-0 start in football after a big overtime win at West Virginia, the program's first win at West Virginia. And I want to talk to you about that game now. Jalen, you guys get off to a bad start, right? It's 14-0 before you even really have a chance to turn around. And in the past, when the Jayhawks have been on the road, and I know we should get done talking about the past here pretty soon, but I'm just saying that can happen to a lot of teams. When you're down 14-0 on the road, you can panic a little bit or you can get down on yourselves, but you guys responded. What was the mentality? What were the conversations like on the sideline when you got off to that bad start, and how did you get it turned around?
You know, honestly, it just comes back to playing our brand of football. You know, we went in going into that game knowing that adversity was going to strike at some point in the game, no matter if it was the first, second, third, or fourth quarter, or even in overtime. But the biggest emphasis that we put inside of our buildings is, what are you going to do about it? When the coaching staff first got here, they gave out this platform called E plus R equals O, which is event plus response equals the outcome. The event and the outcome is two things that we have no control over. The only thing that we control is our response. So I feel like it showed in the game. The only thing that we had to say was, all right, that didn't work, next drive. We can't worry about the pass. The biggest emphasis that my quarterback coach at the University of Kansas, Coach Zabrowski, gives is your best throw is next throw. You can't worry about the pass because at the end of the day, it happened already. Well, you can't go back and change everything. Like you can't time travel. So why harp and worry about the pass when there's still three quarters of football to play? There's still so much football and opportunity to be able to play. So there's no point of harping on it when you're able to come back. It doesn't matter. Our defense is going to be able to go out on the field and get stops. Our job as an offense is to be able to go out there and be able to score every single drive. When it doesn't happen, next drive. You can't have that mentality of, oh, dang, it didn't work last time, because we're not going to get the same look as last time. Their objective is to try to disguise and give us a different look so that it doesn't work. if we ran that play last time against this look, 9 times out of 10, we're not. If we run that play again, we're not going to get that look again. So our job is to execute it.
This is fantastic stuff from Jalen Daniels. I'm writing this down. Event plus response equals outcome. I'm gonna use that with my kids when I coach them tomorrow. I love that. That's fantastic. Okay, so now I want to go to overtime because there was a great shot that Kansas social media put out of you on the sideline when West Virginia came back because you guys took the lead in the fourth quarter, but they came back. They tied it up, sent the thing to overtime. Stadium's going crazy. They're playing, you know, Country Roads, Take Me Home. They're doing all the stuff they do in West Virginia. And they showed you on the sideline, and you looked like your blood pressure didn't even change. What was going through your mind at that moment in the game?
All right, next play. I mean, we can't do nothing about it now. It's 42-42. You guys just want to go out there and just get on our knees and bow down? No, that's not what we do. We go out there and fight every single time, no matter if we're down, no matter if we're up, no matter if we're up by 50, no matter if we're down by 50, we're going to go out there and play our game. So my message to the boys was, don't flinch. Go out there and play ball. There's no point of flinching because at the end of the day, this time is going to be over soon. And honestly, it really just matters about how you want to remember you spending that time on the field. Don't flinch. Just go out there and play ball. It doesn't matter what the scoreboard is. We've been practicing all week, and we've practiced for these type of opportunities. So let's go out there and execute it. We feel like in practice we put ourselves in those type of situations to be able to go out there in game time and treat it as if it's practice.
This is, again, fantastic stuff. Perspective coming from a college kid that I absolutely love, Jalen Daniels, on the show right now. And then at the end, after the game was over, They also showed a video of you and Coach Leipold in a big hug. And it seemed like an emotional hug, two people that have been through things together. Can you tell me what the connection is between the two of you and maybe how it was represented in that hug after the game?
Our drive to want to win. You know, we knew that there was, like I said earlier, we knew that there was going to be challenges and adversity in that game. And me and Coach Leipold, I feel like we both wanted to know how our team responded to that adversity. And we went out there and responded well. That's exactly why we were able to come out with the win. So I just feel like the happiness and excitement just comes from how proud we are of the rest of the team being able to do what we did.
So, okay. All right. So handling adversity, we talked about that a lot with this game against West Virginia. Now you guys have the challenge of going out and showing everybody how you handle success, because now you're the team that just won the big game at West Virginia, and you got another game coming up this weekend, a tough one against Houston. What's the response been like for the team this week? Because there's that old adage of the hangover game, right, where teams feel pretty good because they just got a big emotional win and then they let down. What's it been like for you guys, practicing this week?
You know, we're not looking at that West Virginia game anymore. Just like last week during practice working for West Virginia, we were no longer worried about that Tennessee Tech game. You know, every week is a 1-0 mentality. We want to be able to go out there and go 1-0. So those two games that we played in the past, those are now in the past. You can treat it like it's last season, because going into this game, nobody should be worried about what happened in the past, since it's a new game. The last game that we played is not going to show in this game. We have to go out there and act like we haven't played in the other games.
And you're going to do that against the Houston Cougars on Saturday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. But I got to ask you, how different is it to be a football player on campus right now than it was in the past? I mean, you know, because that's the different thing about playing in college versus playing in the pros. When you play in college, you're going to class and you're sitting around your, you know, fellow students, and they know how you played on Saturday. How different is it? What is it like going to class the last couple of weeks?
It's crazy. I mean, you know, being recognized by everybody now, you know, the amount of excitement that they have for our football program, you know, just them coming up to us saying 2-0, you know, just being happy. We can't wait for you guys to come back. How are you guys going to do this week? How are you guys doing this? How are you guys doing this and that? You know, just the amount of, you know, concern that they have for us, that's the biggest difference. You know, I feel like our fans that are out there, we love the amount of support that we're getting from them.
Well, and I think that the KU fans see that they've got something to be excited about right now as a football fan base that they haven't had in quite some time. And I think you're a big reason for it, Jalen. So let me ask you this. Let's let people get to know you a little bit. And, hey, we live in the NIL world. If there's any KU boosters that own a company out there or something like that that want to get some endorsement deals going Jalen Daniels' way, what's Jalen Daniels into? Like, when you're not playing football – What do you like to eat? What do you like to do with your free time? Let's let people get to know you a little bit.
Well, I'm somebody who likes to play video games. You know, I feel like I've been a gamer since I was able to touch the controller, honestly. Ever since the Xbox 360, ever since the first Xbox, when I was playing with my godfather at his house, you know. I feel like that's my favorite outside activity, when I just want to be able to decompress from everything, just go be able to hop on the game with my friends, talk to them on the mic, and, you know, not worry about any outside noise, you know, just be able to enjoy the company of them. But as for food, I'm probably the biggest pizza head that there is, honestly.
Okay.
I've loved pizza for my whole entire life. Like, if you ask anybody about what my favorite food is, they're definitely going to say pizza. But I'm a different type of pizza guy, because I don't like to have red sauce on my pizza. I like to put barbecue sauce instead, and then put pepperoni and chicken on it.
Okay, okay. All right, so now I've heard of the barbecue chicken pizza. I don't think I've ever had barbecue chicken pepperoni pizza. Where are we going to get that order?
Johnny's Tavern.
Okay.
Definitely going to Johnny's Tavern. I feel like they have the best pizza in Lawrence that you know, meets that barbecue chicken pizza requirement.
If you're listening, we got to deal with the folks at Johnny's right here. We might have to work out like a Jalen Daniels special. We can call this the Jalen Daniels pizza, you know, barbecue sauce, chicken, pepperoni. I'm going to work on that. Have you worked on this with them yet? Have you had a conversation with anybody at Johnny's yet?
No, I have not.
All right. I'm getting on the horn with the folks at Johnny's literally today, and we're going to see if we can make this thing happen. The Jalen Daniels pizza, they could do some kind of special with it. Like, if you throw so many touchdowns, there's a discount on the pizza. I'm certainly going to try it. There's Johnny's Taverns all over the Kansas City metropolitan area, including the one downtown where I go to watch my Arsenal games. And there's the one in Lawrence as well. So here we go. What do you think? That sound good to you? The Jalen Daniels, you know?
Definitely.
All right, let's do it. Hey, Jalen, in all seriousness, I hope we get a chance to talk to you again, because you just sound like a fantastic young man who's got a lot of perspective on life already at a very early age, and obviously you got it when it comes to being a quarterback on the football field. Our best wishes to you. Good luck down in Houston, and hopefully we get to talk to you again real soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys for having me.
All right. That's Jalen Daniels, quarterback for the Kansas Jayhawks. We'll be back right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.